the O, and the Dub. Welcome to Junior, the CHL podcast with Jeff Marek and Sam Cosentino. From now until the MasterCard Memorial Cup, this is the destination for news, opinion, and prospects. No one does the CHL like this.
What an exciting weekend. Welcome to Junior, by the way. What an exciting weekend of junior and minor midget hockey, Sam Cosentino. We saw over the past few days. I want to get to what Dylan Strome did on the weekend, Sunday specifically, in a game where you and RJ were ringside watching the 6 points, as everyone was saying, let's all check on Mitch Marner, make sure he's okay somewhere and he's not curled up in a ball as his OHL scoring title goes bye-bye. But I want to focus in to kick off this week's podcast on the OHL Cup. This is a tournament that I've watched for a few years. You've probably watched it more than I have. We've seen some wonderful performances by a lot of players, but, you know, Matthew Strome's performance on Monday with the overtime winner, the Toronto Marlboros beat the Don Mills Flyers in OT. That's going to go down as one of the best performances we've seen maybe ever in this tournament. And that covers some big names and that covers some big plays as well. For initially, wide brush thoughts quickly on the OHL Cup final itself that we saw on Monday.
Well, pretty cool that we get the opportunity to do it, and you're right. I've gone out. It's been a little easier in the past to get out to see it because we didn't have the Sunday game, and so your viewing, you know, you could really tailor your viewing. So this year it's been more kind of watching from afar, if you will. But I did get out, as you did, Jeff, to both semis there on Saturday night, and marvelous turnout there. You know, it still amazes me that when you go and watch these games, just how big the kids are, what great shape they're in. The coaching. You look at the coaching. My goodness. I mean, Lindsay Hofford of Don Mills is coached in the Ontario Hockey League, the Western Hockey League. Danny Brown's legendary in GTHL circles, of course, with his family, Connor, his son, and Jeff, his other son, playing in the CIS. So all of those things really amaze me for 15-year-old kids. It also tells me just how big this thing has gotten, and you know, now that it's on national TV, I have a sneaking suspicion, Jeff, that it won't be the last OHL Cup final that we call.
Yeah, I hope this one really becomes a mainstay on our Sportsnet schedule. Would also like to do the semifinals if Scott Moore is listening anywhere right now. That would be a lot of fun. But that final game was a blast. And you mentioned Lindsay Hofford as well. And, you know, speculation is that he may be in the NHL sooner than later with the association with Mark Hunter. You're bang on about that one. A couple of players really jumped out specifically for me. David Levin will probably be the first overall draft pick in the OHL priority selection, so you can marry him to the Sudbury Wolves. But the one kid that I kept coming back to on Saturday and then on Monday as well, and gorgeous goal, first goal of the game Monday for the Toronto Marlies, and that's Ryan McLeod. His brother, of course, plays with Mississauga, older brother with Oakville, I believe, in the OJ, heading to Canisius College next year. But Ryan McLeod was the one guy that I kept coming back to and saying, this guy's the most dynamic player I've seen over the weekend in the OHL Cup.
Agreed. And, you know, I'd heard all the talk about Levin going in as well. I thought he played really well in the semis. Didn't get quite the ice I thought he was going to get in the final, but still had an impact with the one assist there for Don Mills. But I'm the same as you, Jeff. I don't know. Just in very limited viewings and watching the skating ability and so on and so forth, I don't see how, for me, again, it's just two viewings, McLeod be my guy.
Yep.
If I had the top pick. And, you know, what's kind of interesting is Levin is being billed as that top guy, no question. Mississauga, that's where Michael is, Ryan's brother. Well, Mississauga wins its last game of the year, bumps up two spots in the draft, and you have to if Levin goes to Sudbury and Mississauga was sitting in number two, the other McLeod would be, you know, Ryan would be joining his brother Michael. So, I mean, I guess it could still happen that way, and I hope for the sake of the brothers and the family that it does happen to play out that way. But I thought he was just dynamic. And the thing for me, Jeff, it's not just that he was really good offensively, but I liked how he tracked pucks. I liked how he was on the right side of the puck. I liked how he played physically. There are a lot of things to like about McLeod's game in the two viewings I had.
Yeah, Windsor will select second. Flint will take third. And the Mississauga, as you mentioned, Sam, will select fourth. I have a hard time seeing Ryan McLeod get down to fourth, but we've seen things happen in the OHL priority selection before. The other player I kept coming back to when he plays with Don Mills, who may have, as one scout told me on the weekend, the best separation speed of anyone at this age level. And that's Jacob Totora, the kid from Rochester playing with the Don Mills Flyers. Very small, really slight, committed to Boston College. But when he gets on his wheels, goodbye. He separates from the pack quickly. Totora may be not the best skater, but the fastest skater that I saw all weekend long.
Yeah, he gets to top speed in a hurry. There's no question about that. He's slippery. He does play a greasy game. If you watch him behind the play, he's not a guy that, because he's small, is going to get taken advantage of, or at least not without retribution. A fascinating prospect for me, though, and I've heard the same thing as you have, Jeff, that he's not going to end up in the Ontario Hockey League. I mean, who knows how that plays out, how that affects his draft status. The guy for me that stuck out for Don Mills is Brett Newman, though, and I don't think he was at 100%.
Yeah,
but again, you talk about a complete guy, 200-foot game, couple of goals in the semi. I'd missed some time with injury earlier this year. He's a guy that I also would sense having a good start as a 16-year-old in the Ontario Hockey League because of his complete game.
Yeah, he's the captain of the Don Mills Flyers, too. And I did a benchside interview with him in the first intermission. And, he comes out and takes off his helmet. And it's only at that point where it really sinks in how young these kids are. Like, you watch them on the ice and the performance level is elite and the way they think and the way they play and how fast they skate. And then they come off the ice and you can't believe how young these kids are. Like, you've talked about this countless times, Sam, the way that the skill set works now, not just in junior hockey, but in minor midget as well. Long gone are the days where, each team carried a couple of scrubs and there wasn't, parity amongst, as far as skating goes and passing and all the skills that go into making a hockey player. There wasn't that parity up and down the lineup. But man, like, I know that Matthew Strome will always get that, well, he's not a great skater, but he thinks at such an elite level that he makes up for it. But I look at the game on Monday and no one's really a bad skater. Like, there are very few quote-unquote bad players. And I'm talking to Brett Newman. It's sinking into me. This kid is so flippin' young, Sammy. That, you look at, they take off the helmets and they turn the tiny. But you're right. Brett Newman was outstanding as well. Want to make specific mention, the Scorpion save, for those that watched it on Sportsnet, that Matthew Warnock made in the second period may have been, as one scout told me, the best save made all OHL Cup long. Not just the final game, but the entire tournament. That was one heck of a save there, Sam.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, he's down and out and not giving up, and he kind of had an inkling that the puck was going to go there, so why not kick up that right leg and have it bounce off his calf and out? So that was it was really neat. I think that's, to be honest with you, Jeff, one of the best saves I've seen in any of the games that I've done this year. Maybe the best, so... exciting to see what the prospects for that young netminder have in store for him.
You got a thought on Matthew Strome, so I want to transition to Dylan here in a couple of seconds. But Matthew Strome, overtime winner, captain of the Marlies, scores the biggest goal of his career. Mum's in the audience. She was there the afternoon before, of course, to watch the Ice Dogs and the Erie Otters. But what did you make of Matthew Strome, his game getting there, and then the OT winner?
Well, it's funny because I skate with a group on Monday nights at the same rink where the Marlies practice. So I run into Matthew all the time. I've come to know the Strome family here a little bit over the last few years, and Danny Brown and so on and so forth. So it's funny, and I can tell the story now, but I go back to last Monday, Jeff, and I saw Matt at the rink, and he was actually carrying the GTHL Cup into the Marlies dressing room. And I said, hey, let me have a look at that. So he showed it to me, and I said, hey, give me your honest opinion of the teams that you know of in the Cup. Who would be four teams that I can just kind of hone in on as to who we might see on Monday night, because I'm calling the final? And basically he said, we'll be there. So, confident young man. Why wouldn't he be with the team that he was on? Sure. And his own personal side of things. But as a player, I think he's very much in the same vein as where Ryan was, as where Dylan was. Big guys that you know can shoot the puck, that you know have great hockey sense, but can't skate. And if you look at where Ryan's come from and gone to, National Hockey League, even Dylan this year, the strides he's made. excuse the pun, in his skating. And, nice. And you would expect the same thing would happen with Matt. But the one thing you can't teach is size. He's loaded with that. I don't think he's going to be quite as dynamic a player as his two brothers, but I think he'll be well suited for that power forward, ground and pound type of game.
Was talking to one scout who an NHL scout who wasn't watching the game but is well into the hockey at the minor midget and OHL level, and he said, "Mark my words, Matthew Strome's going to be the star tonight." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Just watch." And then after, I said, "Well, you know, this is some pretty elite guys out there. You know, Ryan McLeod is poised to have a big game." We talked about Jacob Totora and talked about David Levin and all. He goes, "Strome is too smart not to have a great game today." And he scores the OT winner. And I get a text. Honestly, Sam, went down to do, the celebrations and interview a couple of kids on the ice. And I get back to the booth and I pick up my iPhone. And sure enough, there it is from this one scout that you and I both know. Just simply, "I told you so." And he said to me,
"Jeff,
look, he's just too smart a player."
You're right. And check this out. If you go back and watch the replay of the goal, watch where he goes and how he gets there and what he does when he gets there, okay? The play's developing. Defenseman pinching the weak side 4-on-4. Then it's turned over to Price, the forward. And just as the puck goes to Price, you see Strome, left side, sneak all the way down. And instead of tapping his stick madly, he realized that he's gotten in behind the coverage. So he comes down hard once on his stick, enough to make noise to allow to alert your teammate that you're there. And his stick didn't leave the ice thereafter. And what he also did, Jeff, is he took a path probably 2 feet outside of the post. So as to if the coverage were to catch him, that he was actually there, that he'd be far enough away and have created such a lane for himself that only he could get the puck. And left shot, bared down on the stick, made enough noise. Price saw him, put it right on his tape perfectly. And Matthew really, it was a simple play, one that I could have scored on. But the 30 seconds before that to get him into that position, I probably would not have been able to process.
Great point. Smart thinking hockey family, the Stromes. Okay, the afternoon before that, we thought we saw the best performance from a Strome all weekend long, with all due respect to Ryan, who had the goal and the assist on Saturday for the Islanders. Hard to believe that the kid who scored in the NHL is the third starter of the Strome family on the weekend, but there it was. Your thoughts on what Dylan did Sunday afternoon to the Ice Dogs? 6 points, wins the OHL scoring title.
You go into that situation, and if you're Dylan Strome, he had played the night before with Connor McDavid, and you find out McDavid's not going to be in the lineup. You're thinking, well, that's going to put a little dent into my chances. You get an assist taken away from you from the night before, so instead of being two back, you're actually three back going into the game. And you say, well, this Niagara team's won 9 of 10 coming down the stretch. They've played well. Two goaltenders that have really flip-flopped for the last month and have both really played well. This is going to be tougher than I thought, and this game is going to have a little bit of jam in terms of where Niagara's coming from, because they still have, at that point, still had home ice to play for. So you pile up all those things, and Dylan had as much as admitted so that, yeah, of course it was on my mind. How could it not be? And then to go out and to perform, not just to meet the goal, but to exceed it by a million miles, was really, really something special. And I think, Jeffy, RJ really, I think he really hit the nail on the head when he said, this guy is in that sport zone. I'm not even sure what that sport zone is, but he's in it right now.
Well, everything he touched turned to gold. It was like he was Midas. Everything that, every pass, every shot, every rush, it seemed like, after a while, you just say to yourself, well, this is fair. Like, this is the sport. This is the way it was supposed to be. This game was supposed to be a game out of 1987 where there's going to be 15 goals scored and all the fans are going to go home happy. You're going to see a lot of pucks go over red lines. And there was Dylan Strome at the end of it. And this was, in a lot of ways, this is a nationally broadcast game. A lot of fans getting a chance to watch Dylan Strome put on a performance. And I'm sitting next to John in studio, Shannon, and he's texting with one NHL general manager, who, of course, I can't say who. And he shows me the text. John sends him a text saying, what do you think of Strome? And the GM sends back, we have him at number 3. That there is someone who's, it could be in that mix for him, who has Dylan Strome right after Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel. That is how highly at least one significant general manager has Dylan Strome. I don't know that I'm there with him over Noah Hanifin. But, again, I'm not an NHL GM, but at least one of them has him in at number 3 at this point.
Yeah, that's pretty Yeah, fascinating stuff. Doesn't really surprise me a whole lot. And I think when it comes to Noah Hanifin, he's, at least to the uninitiated, he's a bit of an unknown. I mean, you know, obviously watch him at the World Juniors and leading up to the draft will do some due diligence on him. But you have to wonder if a guy who, like Dylan Strome, plays that schedule, played all 68 games for the Erie Otters this year, being seen on a more regular basis, playing a more pro-type schedule, if that doesn't work in his favor. I think at any rate, though, Jeff, I got to say that this guy's going to be, geez, a top five, top seven at the very worst, I would say, and probably more likely a top five guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think he gets that. You don't think he gets out of five, do you?
No,
I'd be shocked.
So.
Man, with that kind of, I mean, we had Sherry Basson on, was it a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago on the podcast, and he said, look, you know, his leg strength still isn't the best, but that's something that kids can improve on, right? That's a matter of working out and getting in the gym in the summer because, you know, is the hockey sense there? Yeah. Are all the skills there? Yeah. If he's not scoring, is he giving you something else? Absolutely. So it's not as if he's just a one-dimensional player as well. And that is a knock on some other players. Sure, they can shoot the lights out, but if you find it harder at the NHL level and your game isn't translating to the pro game, do you have anything else that you can give us? I think, Sam, it's safe to say with Dylan Strome, the answer is a resounding yes.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the part of his game that people really, really like. What I will say to this, though, Jeff, and the reason why I say top seven is let's assume it's McDavid, Eichel, Hanifin. I think there you'd probably find a 50-50 split or a 55-45 split on Marner or Strome after that. And then Ivan Provorov is going to be a guy to me who sneaks up into the top
hands
five.
Down.
So if you think about it for a sec, let's go back. McDavid, Eichel, Hanifin.
Yep.
The team that picks in the four slot likes Marner ahead of Strome, so Marner goes there. And I cannot see Provorov getting out of the top five just because, and you and I have talked about this before, because of his position. And then all of a sudden, it could be Strome at six. It could even be Marner at six if you look at a flip-flop between what the GM at number four picks.
Or so if someone looks at the Kingston, if someone looks at the Kingston Frontenacs and says, well, now
Lawson
that he doesn't
Krause?
Have to do it all on his own, all of a sudden, I mean, you look at the points per game that Lawson Krause has put up ever since, you know, Sam Bennett came back from Calgary.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he doesn't have to begin every play and do everything in order to manufacture a point. All of a sudden, you say to yourself, well, maybe all Lawson Krause needed was some more talent around him. Maybe Lawson Krause creeps back up into that top six, top five discussion as well. You wonder how much the playoffs will determine a lot of these things. You know, Brandon has a big run with Provorov. Kingston has a run, more viewings of Lawson Krause. If Erie flames out early, well, that's it for viewings of Dylan Strome. It's not going to affect Connor McDavid. You know what? It wouldn't be beyond the pale to see Kitchener upset the London Knights, and that's it for the viewings of Mitch Marner. That's why, you know, as we dovetail into a conversation about the CHL playoffs, that's why at this time of the year, with so many questions after two and maybe after three, playoffs are going to determine, I think, a lot of the draft rankings here, Sammy.
Oh, yeah, I agree, Jeff, and I agree. And, you know, and who knows how things are going to play out when it comes to the draft eligibles at the MasterCard Memorial Cup, but that always seems to me to have an impact. I mean, let's go back to Nathan MacKinnon and Seth Jones. What happened to Jones? He slipped to four in Nashville that year.
Great
and MacKinnon
outplayed
Jones in the tournament and ended up going and cementing himself as the first overall guy. Went pretty much up until that point, until the middle of May. I thought everyone and their brother had Seth Jones going number one.
Yep, that is probably the most obvious point. Like that's the one you point to right there. Bang, that's where that little mini tournament can cement the draft status. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the CHL playoffs as we kick off another edition of Junior. We'll start with the Western Hockey League, and we'll have Brandon and Edmonton next Tuesday on Sportsnet. But is there one series that's jumping out at you, Sam, and you say to yourself, I can't wait to see this one? For me, it's Portland and Seattle. I know Seattle's 1 year away from taking that next stride as a team, but you know Portland's had a good surge towards the end of the season. Oliver Bjorkstrand shooting the lights out. Nick Patan, Brendan getting some. You know, maybe not the best defense in the entire Western Hockey League, but I look at Seattle and they're young and they're 1 year away. But Matthew Barzal continues to impress. That might be the series that I'm most keyed in on. But what's yours?
Well, that's a good one to pick, and I'll be keeping an eye on that one. But I'm gonna harken back a little bit to Friday night when we were in Vancouver and had the Kelowna Rockets on in Vancouver to take on the Giants in the first of the two final games of the season between those two clubs. And went into Kelowna's room there, and Danny Lambert and Chris Millett, Travis Crickard, they didn't seem all that happy to see us. Now, part of that is they have not played well on Sportsnet this year. No, it's funny, though, Jeff. You could really feel the tension in the room. You could. It was unbelievable.
Really, eh?
Oh, yeah. And you know Bruce Hamilton. I mean, Bruce was there. He was in Vancouver.
Of course, yeah.
He's tough, man. He does not let his foot off the pedal. There is no question about it. And I think sometimes just being there and bearing down, and obviously the pressure's on Bruce as well because he made the trades to go out and get Morrissey and Draisaitl and Braid and Quinney and those guys, that he's obviously feeling the pressure. But as from the GM part of things, but from the owner's perspective, I think he's kind of looking down at these guys. You know, going into that game, they'd lost 5 of 8, and I think he was just kind of that cloud hanging over them that has put so much pressure on the coaching staff to do well. And you felt it. Honestly, you felt it walking into the room, walking out, and I looked at RJ and I said, well, that, you know, they're always pleasant. They're a wonderful, wonderful group of guys there. But you could sense the tension in the room. And so I'll use that to say that the series that will interest me here early on is Tri-City and Kelowna, because I don't think Kelowna is playing its best hockey right now. I think that part of the pressure thing is definitely there. Josh Morrissey's not going to be there for the first round. Now, Tri-City doesn't have a whole lot of firepower. They're not bad in the back end, but young.
But
they got the guy.
They got the goalie,
anyone
Sam.
In the CHL. Yep, you got
that's it.
Of anyone in the CHL, who would you pick to steal a series? Jake Patterson would probably be that guy as an overage guy. Eric Comrie would be the guy for me that I'd take out of any goalie in the CHL right now that going into a series could steal it for you. It's not likely to happen because Kelowna has so much firepower, but that's the series I'm going to be really interested in to see how Kelowna responds early. And to see if Comrie can get one or two from the Rockets and see what that might do to their confidence.
That's an excellent point. You wonder too if, you know, you look at the game that we'll have next Tuesday, the Brandon Wheat Kings facing off against the Edmonton Oil Kings. Oil Kings, of course, defending MasterCard and World Cup champions. A lot of players have moved on. There's still some there, and the goaltender is still there as well. I don't think that there's a chance that Edmonton can do this. I think it's just too much firepower on Brandon. They're too deep, and they'll be deep for years as well. You say they're built for next year, but then you look at Nolan Patrick and the season he's had, and you say, hold on, maybe Brandon's built for the next 2 or 3 years. But do you think the Oilers can at least scare the Wheat Kings here?
They're going to get one. They're going to get one because it's a 2-3-2 format, and Tristan Jarry playing on home ice, he's going to win one of those three games likely on his own. Edmonton, though, I mean, down the stretch, they've started to score a little bit more. I mean, Caldas come alive a little bit. Pollock, Bauer, those guys are starting to pick things up offensively. I just don't think they have enough to beat Brandon. I mean, even with a couple of guys dinged up for Brandon, I don't see how this series really extends past, I don't know, probably not past 5, but I'll give Jarry maybe the benefit of the doubt and say this one will go 6, but I can't see Edmonton extending at the distance.
All right, let's head out to the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. We'll finish up with the OHL. One series grabbing your attention more than anyone else, Sam?
Yes, sir. That would be Gatineau at the Blainville Bois-Briand Armada. And you're talking about a couple of contrasting styles here. Gatineau likes to play a hard, heavy game. They're not a massive team, but they are a bigger team than the Blainville Bois-Briand Armada. I think the Armada is a team that we've had on, Joel Bouchard and, you know, Yevpilovs and Martel, a really, really good team. And, you know, they've been to the conference final, I think, 3 of the last 4 years, so it's hard to go against Blainville. But I think Gatineau's playing at the best hockey of its season right now. I think Gatineau getting their goaltender healthy is huge. Zikov looks like he's reinterested once again. I've talked to some scouts about Trennan. They really like his game. So that's going to be an interesting series for me. That's a 3 versus 14 as Blainville goes in as the 3 seed. But and never easy to play at the Robert Gertin Arena, especially in the playoffs. You know, they'll start getting there at 5 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game tailgate and going crazy. That building, once they drown out the anthem during the playoffs, it goes nuts in that place. And Blainville doesn't – they've played really well at home, but it's not like you go into that building and you feel afraid to play there because of what's happening around you and off the ice. So that'll be a series that I have great interest in. I'm fascinated for your pick in this league as to who interests you.
I look for styles, and I look for which styles will complement each other, and I look for the styles that are just going to be flat out fun to watch. And I really had my head turned seeing Schwenningen this year when we had them on Friday Night Hockey. So I'm really interested to see stylistically how these two teams, because you suspect it's going to be high-flying, run-and-gun, whether it's Anthony Beauvillier, whether it's Dennis Jahn, whether it's, you know, one of these high-flying guys from Schwenningen facing off against maybe the most explosive team as far as speed goes, the Halifax Mooseheads, led by, of course, Nick Ehlers and Timo Meier. I just think that this one is going to be a run-and-gun, high-flying series. See, the opening round in the Q is always so tough because they go to that old-school format of 1 versus 16, 2 versus 16. We flow on from there. So the first round tends to, in some ways, or has the potential to be either underwhelming because they're sweeps or overwhelming because they're enormous upsets. So I'm sort of in the middle here. That's why I look at Schwenningen and Halifax to see two high-flying explosive teams face off against one another. Otherwise, you know, you could get some tilted rink games here. I do love your pick, though, because I never want to count out a team that's coached by Benoit Grue in the playoffs.
That's right.
Ever, ever, ever do you count out Gatineau as long as Benoit Grue is behind the bench. I talked to someone at Deadline and from a team in the Maritimes, and he said, you know what? Gatineau may not make the sexiest moves at Deadline, but you watch. Something happens to Benoit Grue coach teams come playoff time. I don't know that they knock off the Armada, but I'm pretty sure that Gatineau can put a pretty good scare into Joel Bouchard's team.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, was it Rimouski? Was it last year or the year before where, you know, Serge Beausoleil came out in the media and talked about, oh, Benoit Grue's playing the, you know, the us against the world with a lower seed sort of thing, and Rimouski ended up taking it in the teeth in that series. I think it was last year, actually. So it wouldn't surprise me if they, you know, came up with a little more magic here this year.
Should be interesting, certainly. Let's get to the Ontario Hockey League, and we'll talk to Michael Delhol here of the Oshawa Generals in a couple of seconds. The Jennies face off against the Petes, Colts, and the Bulls. North Bay and Kingston, the Ottawa 67s, and the Ice Dogs. Sioux Greyhounds facing off against Saginaw, the youngest team, by the way, ever to qualify for the OHL playoffs. Erie Otters facing off against Sarnia, London and Kitchener, Guelph Storm, and the Owen Sound Attack. Which one, Sam Cosentino, is spicing your chili?
Ooh, I got to go Kingston, North Bay, and the Sam Bennett factor. You know, North Bay's the defending champs. They've got home ice in this series. That one fascinates me to no end. I mean, North Bay's got the experience from going all the way to the league final last year. But Kingston, to me, looks like a much, much different team than what we saw throughout the course of the year. If they're still able to defend the way they did throughout the season, I think third or fourth in the league in goals against. Parisini plays well. And add that offense with Sam Bennett. What's Spencer Watson's status? You know, is he going to play if he's healthy? I think that's going to be a long, long series. I really do.
The one for me that is fascinating is the Kitchener Rangers and the London Knights. And this is probably the worst draw that the London could have. Kitchener's played them tough all season long. Troy Smith, head coach of the Kitchener Rangers, seems to key in on that first line, and I would assume the philosophy is take away the time and space of that first line and then place your bets on lines 2, 3, and 4 facing off against one another. And if there's, you know, you mentioned Tri-City with Comrie, how about Patterson and Kitchener? If you're looking for someone that can walk in and steal a series, I know there's big sticks, whether it's Dvorak or Domi or Marner, Julius Bergman as well on that London Knights squad. But if there's one goaltender on one team that can steal a round, I'm looking for the Kitchener Rangers to upset the London Knights. I think that's how good. Even though, you know, this is the year that Kitchener, you know, traded a lot of players. You know, Justin Bailey off to Sault Ste. Marie, Brent Peterson off to Oshawa. Like, they traded some key pieces, but still through all of it, Troy Smith was able to find a way, a lot of it's goaltending, of course, find a way to get into the playoffs so they don't miss in back-to-back years. And wouldn't surprise me if they ended up winning a round as well.
Yeah, I mean, he would be, you know, 1 and 1A between Comrie and Patterson as guys who could steal a series in the Canadian Hockey League right now. You know, that series will start in London. That's never a fun place to play, especially in the playoffs. But I'll be watching that one very closely, much like you, Jeff, because I got a sneaking suspicion here that Patterson is about to play the best hockey of his career, and he's a proven guy. And so when I look at all the goaltenders in the Ontario Hockey League, and I know Appleby's had a great year, and I know the Hope and Moran combination has been really good in Niagara, and you got Mackenzie Blackwood and Halverson. I mean, there's a lot of good guys, but there's probably no one I trust in the league more than I would trust than Jake Patterson right now.
You know what? And that's going to be great for some of those Kitchener kids like Adam Askarin, young guys who they're building the team around to have a good run in the playoffs here, because if the Kitchener Rangers don't make the playoffs, we assume they're going to be a better squad next season altogether. But now these young kids, the team that you know, that the young kids the team is built around going forward, now all of a sudden they have a little bit more playoff experience, and that's only going to help the Kitchener Rangers going forward. There was a lot of talk, why are the Kitchener Rangers going out and getting Jake Patterson? You could see the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds going to get Patterson. You could see the Erie Otters try to go and get Jake Patterson. A lot of eyebrows raised about why it was the Kitchener Rangers ended up pulling the trigger on the deal, and I would have to think a lot of it is to get some experience for these young kids, you know, not expecting a huge run this year, but next year this experience is going to be invaluable, Sam.
Yeah, great move by Murray Hebert there. He kind of snuck in underneath everybody and was able to be in the fortunate position of having an overage spot available. You know, so many teams don't want to take up the duel. Either you're a European player and an overage player, or you're a goaltender and an overage player. And so good job on Murray for going out to make that acquisition. And of all the big guys that moved around and whatever else, if Kitchener goes on to win at least even the first round, that might prove to be the most valuable acquisition of any as you look ahead to the 15-16 season.
On that, we'll take a break. Thanks for joining us today on Junior, either listening at sportsnet.ca or downloading us at iTunes. We pause. We come back with Michael Del Cole of the Oshawa Generals.
I'm Scott Lawton from the Philadelphia Flyers. I played for the Oshawa Generals in the Ontario Hockey League.
Being joined now by a New York Islanders first-round draft pick and one of the young men leading the Oshawa Generals into the opening round of the playoffs. You can watch this game Friday, 7:30 Eastern on Sportsnet. The Oshawa Generals facing off against longtime rivals the Peterborough Petes. A pleasure to welcome Michael Del Cole to the podcast. Michael, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
We're doing great. Listen, in a lot of ways, this is sort of symbolically a great opponent for the Oshawa Generals. No need to tell you about the longstanding rivalry between these two franchises, but is it sort of extra spice, you know, that it's Oshawa and Peterborough, longtime rivals, meeting up in the first round?
Yeah, it's awesome. I think it's great for both cities, and, you know, this has been a rivalry for, you know, a very long time in this league, and in my opinion, it's probably the biggest rivalry in the Canadian Hockey League, so great to be a part of it. I've been a part of it for 3 years, and you know, playing in the playoffs is amazing for the league.
Michael, you look at the regular season you guys had, and you know, we weren't able to get you on Sportsnet because of a couple of different reasons, but we'll have your first two games in the playoffs coming up here in on Friday and Sunday. What is it about the team this year that allowed them to have the kind of season that you guys have had and remain number one in the country for most of the time?
Yeah, I think we played this year with a little bit of a chip on our shoulder, not being ranked very high at the beginning of the year. I don't really think people really respected us that much heading into the season, but no, I think we definitely proved a lot of people wrong. I think a lot of credit goes to DJ Smith and our coaching staff. They had a pretty tight ship this year, and everyone bought in. We're an older team, and everyone's working together for one goal, and it's to win the World Cup.
How much of it as well is the goaltending of Ken Appleby? Because as you know, Michael, he's been fantastic for you guys all year.
Yeah, unbelievable. In my opinion, one of the most underrated players in the league. Really, really developed this year. I think he learned behind Daniel Altschuler, another great goalie. I played for us the past two seasons, and in my opinion, he's probably the best goalie in the league. He's just, you know, so big and strong, and you know, whenever he's in the net, we have a chance to win. So he's been a big part of it.
You know, Michael, you just gave credit previous to Ken Appleby to DJ Smith. And, you know, you look at him, he's got the tie crooked, he's yelling at the top of his lungs, and he's been known as a happy-go-lucky guy going back to his, you know, to his Windsor days. But, you know, everything that I had heard about DJ before he took the job in Oshawa is that he's extremely well-prepared. He's a genius with the video. But now we've seen, I think, the last couple of years, just how good a coach this guy really is. In your opinion, what makes him such a good coach?
He just demands so much of you. I remember coming in as a 16-year-old. You know, he gave me so much opportunity, you know, to really develop playing with guys like Boone Jenner. You know, he puts a lot of trust in his good players, and I think that's great. All of our top players have, you know, really close relationships with him. And, you know, as a visual learner like myself, you know, I do video every day, and, you know, he really pinpoints the, you know, the spots you need to work on in your game. And he's a very hands-on coach. So, you know, he's been unbelievable for me and for our team.
You know, you mentioned Boone Jenner. I think you throw Scott Laughton into that mix as well. You have been able to rub shoulders and play with some pretty elite talents in the OHL. What did you learn from those two guys?
Yeah, those two guys were huge for me. A guy like Scott Laughton, you know, last year in my draft year, obviously he was a first rounder in 2012, I believe. And, you know, he was a great role model for me just because, you know, he worked so hard, you know, on and off the ice. He's always the hardest worker, obviously being the captain, you know, Team Canada, you know, speaks for itself. He was a great guy to learn from, and, you know, I was definitely very blessed to be, you know, drafted to this organization.
Michael, when you look at moving forward here with this Oshawa Generals team and into the playoffs, I mean, it's tough not to think about being the number one team. It's tough not to think about who's going to be there in the Western Conference. But how is it that you guys are going to be able to keep focused, first of all, on Peterborough with the rivalry, and then moving through the Eastern Conference and ultimately to try and get to your goal to an OHL championship?
Yeah, DJ Smith has talked about that a lot, actually. We really got to keep our minds on Peterborough right now. And, you know, in practice, you know, we're kind of, you know, practicing towards them and what they do on, you know, special teams and stuff like that. I can't lie, it is hard as a player not to think about the end goal, which is obviously to win the league and then go on to the World Cup, but we really got to focus on Peterborough because, you know, they're a sneaky team. They got, you know, a lot of guys who can score, so we really got to, you know, take it one step at a time here.
Who's been the one player on your team that's taken the biggest strides? You know, last year you could have made the argument that Hunter Smith was the most improved player in the entire OHL, but on your team this year, which player do you look at, Mike, and you say, wow, this guy's really taken a big step up in his career?
Oh, geez. Other than, you know, Ken Appleby, probably a guy like Cole Castles. I mean, he's really blossomed into one of the best players, you know, in the entire league. He's, you know, arguably the best two-way center in the OHL. I'd put him up there, you know, against anyone. He's great on faceoffs, great in his own zone, and, you know, great offensively too. So, I mean, his numbers, you know, just kept on improving in his OHL career, and you know, he really turned out to be a great player.
And when you look at your goaltending, I mean, you've played with Altschuler even last year, but just throughout the course of your career, once you have a guy in goal that you're really confident with, what do you feel it does for your hockey club?
Yeah, it really makes a difference. I mean, a guy like Kenny, you know, not only can he steal a game, if he gets hot, he could steal a series. You know, he gives us so much confidence back there. You know, he communicates with our D, and then when that happens, you know, we move it up quick to our forward. So really, everything starts with our netminder, and you know, we have confidence in Brodeur too. He played very well for us. So I think we have one of the best 1-2 tandems in the league, and that really, you know, accounted to our success.
You know, pretty much wire to wire, the Oshawa Generals are the top team in the CHL. We've seen teams give heavyweight teams fits. You look at what Niagara has been able to do this year, notwithstanding Sunday's game against the Erie Otters. We've seen what Kitchener has been able to do against the London Knights. Which team has been the toughest out for the Oshawa Generals this year? Which team out there gives you fits?
I think as a record standpoint, it has to be Kingston. You know, they play us very tough and very tight, and, you know, they're a well-coached team as well. Paul McFarland really runs, you know, a tight ship there as well, and, you know, obviously he coached me, and he expects a lot from you. So they play us very tight, and, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if we match up together in the playoffs.
We're going to get away just for a second from the playoff thing and the Oshawa Generals. But looking at yourself this year, you know, the New York Islanders get the opportunity to go to camp. You look at what the Islanders, you know, are doing in the National Hockey League. You think about former Oshawa guys there and Calvin DeHaan and John Tavares. I mean, at some point you have to be excited about where your future goes beyond this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, looking at New York, I watched them play the Leafs a couple of weeks ago at the ACC, and you know, they're an unbelievable team. Obviously, they made you know, a ton of off-season signings, and really they're one of the top teams in the NHL right now. And you know, looking at a guy like John Tavares, that would be an honor to play with a guy like that. I mean, surely blossomed into one of the best players in the entire league. So hopefully, they can go alongside him one day in the near future.
What was camp like for you? What did you take away from that? Your first experience, you know, rubbing shoulders with some of these guys. What did you come away with?
Yeah, it was great for me. You definitely learned a lot that quickly that, you know, obviously you're going against men now. It's not junior anymore, and you're not playing against, you know, 18-year-olds. That's obviously the biggest step for any hockey player, and they're tough on you. They demand a lot up there, you know, whether it's in practice, doing themselves 100%, stopping at the net, stuff like that. So I'd say just the little things I took away from that experience.
You know, Michael, you talk about stopping at the net, and one of the things that's made you better is going through that camp and obviously working with DJ. But where have you found the most improvement in your personal game this year?
I'd say it's continuing to work on the defensive side of the game. I think coming into the league, obviously as an offensive player, but having DJ Smith as your coach, you got to learn to play both sides of the puck. And, you know, I definitely think that's something I always got to continue to work on, because I know at the next level, you can't just play offense. They demand you to play both sides of the puck. So that's definitely something that I'm continuing to work on for sure in junior.
You know, you mentioned Paul McFarland a couple of seconds ago. I want to ask you about the Vaughn Kings when you played there. And we just had the OHL Cup on Sportsnet on Monday. Was fantastic. Was there, you know, the Marlboros in the in overtime, beating the Don Mills Flyers. What was your Vaughn experience like? Because, you know, I know your history, and you'd been, you know, wooed by teams like, you know, the powerhouse Marlboros before in the past. But you always stayed loyal to the Vaughn Kings. Tell us a little bit about growing up playing with Vaughn.
Yeah, that OHL Cup was awesome. Obviously, seeing Matty Strome get the winner there, that celebration was pretty cool. So I watched that on TV, and that was great. Yeah, Vaughn, I played with all my buddies growing up, and I never really wanted to leave. They were always, you know, so close to me, and I was so close to them. So we kind of grew up together, went to the same school, and I never really wanted to leave them. So although we didn't have, you know, a powerhouse team like the Marlies with, you know, McDavid, Jose, McHugh, and Bennett, those guys were really the team to beat. But I always enjoyed playing for Vaughn because, you know, it's just my hometown, and I was really close with all the buddies on my team.
Michael, last question for me. For those uninitiated, for those who haven't watched the Oshawa Generals play this year, they'll get a chance to see them on Sportsnet. But a little preview, what type of style of game can we expect from you guys this weekend?
I think we're a deep team. We use all four lines. And, you know, DJ Smith obviously likes to roll the lines a lot. I think we like to cycle, we like to grind down low. We have a very big team, and we like to play a physical game.
It should be a good one. It should be a very interesting series as longtime rivals of Peterborough Petes face off against Michael Delcole and the Oshawa Generals. Michael, thanks so much for this. Good luck this weekend and the rest of the way.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks,
appreciate
Michael.
It.
So, Sammy, you can add to the list of significant hockey players who watched the OHL Cup final, which includes Ryan Strome of the Islanders, John Tavares of the Islanders. Now throw Michael Delcole into that mix to it. It's an interesting story. Doing some research on Michael last year leading into the draft, you know, talking to his parents mainly. I remember talking to Gus and talking about Michael growing up, and he said, you know, the Marlies tried to recruit him, you know, his powerhouse team, and would have been, you know, wonderful for him to go there, traveling all-star team and all that, but he's just such a fiercely loyal guy that he wanted to stay and play with the kids that he grew up with, the kids that he had grown up with playing AAA all the way up, so he stayed with the Vaughn Kings, even though it wasn't, you know, that powerhouse that was the Toronto Marlies. I think there's something commendable about that, don't you?
Yeah, there sure is. And, you know, when the Islanders are doing their due diligence on a player like that going into the draft, surely Garth Snow and his staff and Timmy McLean and the rest there, you know, that's type of thing that they're looking for in terms of character, because let's be honest here, Jeff, they went a little off the board when it comes to character by moving up to select Josh Hosang. Now, who knows how that one's going to play out, but I think when you have two first-round picks, like the Islanders had last year, you have the opportunity to kind of, you know, shoot for the home run, and you have the opportunity, with which they did with Dell Cole at number five, to pick a guy who you know is going to play for you for a long time because he's got great character, not to mention the size, the speed, the skill, all those other things. Mm-hmm. So there's no question that that's a likable trait in a guy that you're drafting.
You know, really good question, too, about not looking past the Peterborough Petes, although it may be tempting. And if you remember that Oshawa General squad, I mean, it's been a challenging year for the Peterborough Petes. I think we all thought they'd do better this year. They didn't, and they draw the top team or one of the top teams in the entire CHL. How do you look at this series, Sam? Is I mean, a lot of people look at this and say, it's not going to be Oshawa in four, it's going to be Oshawa in three. How do you look at the Jennies and the Petes?
Well, I have a hard time seeing this one extend past the minimum. Really, I do, Jeff. I mean, you know, Peterborough down the stretch, I think they'd only won two of maybe 10 games coming down the stretch. You know, a lot of their top guys were traded away in kind of a continuous rebuild here to the future. But I don't think there's any area of Peterborough's game that really matches up with Oshawa. So in that case, you know, Mancina or Wells are going to have to steal one game, I think, to extend it. But I really can't see this one going by four. And on the flip side of that, and without, you know, completely disrespecting the Peterborough Petes, I think DJ Smith, with his experience going back to back-to-back Memorial Cups in 09 and 10 with the Windsor Spitfires,
yep,
they came in to the 09 playoffs, I mean, fired up and ready to go. And I think it was expected to do of them what they did. And I think DJ Smith will have his Oshawa team prepared in that very same vein. And let's face it, Jeff, like, we had DJ Smith on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. They feel a little disrespected coming in. So they're going to get two opportunities Friday and Sunday to put the pedal to the metal and send a message to the rest of the Ontario Hockey League, to the rest of the CHL. And I think you're going to see some pretty high-end performances from the Jennies Friday, Sunday.
I have a feeling this won't be the last time we see the Oshawa Generals on Sportsnet during these playoffs. I mean, this is a team that's poised to take a long run, and we may even see them in Quebec City in late May for the MasterCard Memorial Cup. Quick thought on a couple of DJ Smith teams then. How would you compare this year's Oshawa Generals? And we haven't seen them in the playoffs, so maybe it's unfair, maybe fraudulent to make a comparison. But how would you compare this year's Oshawa Generals team, stacked as they are, great on the blue line, OA defenseman up and down the wall, great goaltending. How would you compare them to a couple of those Windsor teams that ended up winning the MasterCard Memorial Cup?
Well, I would say favorably, as DJ did, to more so to the 09 team, because I think this is a bigger kind of grinding team. And when I look at the 08-09 team, you know, Taylor Hall was excellent, but really hadn't come into his own. Ryan Ellis, the same sort of thing, hadn't really come into his own yet. Mind you, they were dynamite players, and they, you know, they were 1-2 in scoring on their team that season. But I don't think they were the rock stars that they were soon going to be in the National Hockey League. I look at an overage goalie who never really got looked upon, like Andrew Angelage, going back to that team. Ken Appleby's in the same sort of state there, where no one's really looked at him. He had to play second fiddle for a couple of years. He's a bigger guy. He's an athletic guy. A guy who's likely going to get signed, or at least get a sniff coming out of the Ontario Hockey League playoffs, or however far that the Oshawa Generals end up going. But I look at this as being a team that can beat in a lot of different ways. Goal scoring, no question. Shut down defensively, they can do that. They can grind you down because they have great size and play physically against you. So there are a lot of different elements to this team that I think were very similar to the 09 team. Mm-hmm. For the Windsor Spitfires, I thought the 2010 team was one of the greatest junior teams ever assembled, with all the high-end talent. And the 09 team wasn't quite up to that standard, I believe.
And, you know, you mentioned the size, too. You look at the Oshawa Generals, you're right about the skill, and you can talk about Cole Castles and Michael Dell Cole and Mitch Van Ensemble. Like, there's some high-end, and there's size. Hunter Smith, second-round draft pick of the Calgary Flames, he's in there. as one of the biggest wingers you're going to find in the CHL. And then they go out and they bring in overage defenseman Dakota Mermes from London, and also in that trade, the hulking first-rounder from the Montreal Canadiens, Mike McCarron. This is a large team. You're right, Sam. It's almost as if, you know, and we see this is the hallmark of some of the great teams in the past. They say, you decide how you want this game to be played. We'll play it your way, and we'll beat you at it. You want to play run and gun? We'll do it. You want to bump and grind? We'll do it, too. You want to do a shutdown 2-1 game? We got the goaltender and the defense to do that as well. It is going to be, I mean, I want to see the team that can take the Oshawa Generals off their feet. Maybe Sue is that team, although when they played against each other, Oshawa's kind of handled them. It will take some kind of team to knock the Oshawa Generals out of this box.
It will, and I think they're going to find real formidable opposition in the Eastern Conference Final. And I don't know if that's Niagara, Kingston. I mean, I don't know how that's going to end up playing out. But I think that's where they're gonna really have to kind of, you know, pay attention to detail and play that physical grinding style of game in the Eastern Conference Final, and then we'll see what happens from there. So, I mean, like you and like many, you have to pick Oshawa as the team coming out of the East, but Niagara's going to have something to say about it. North Bay's the defending champ. No one ever talks about Dale Hawerchuk and the Barrie Colts until we had them on a couple of weeks ago. Then you've got Niagara playing well. So there's a lot to be determined still on their side of the conference. And that was the point that when we had DJ Smith on, he really wanted to make that point that, guys, you know, don't just throw our conference right under the bus just yet. There are a lot of good teams here, and I'd have to agree with them. But it's going to be interesting to see how things shake down first there and then where Oshawa ends up if indeed they do go on to win the East.
And then with a healthy Sam Bennett, Kingston may be the wild card out of all of it. So we'll take a break, come back, and wrap up Junior in a moment.
I'm Jonathan Durant from the Tampa Bay Lightning. I play for the Halifax Mooseheads in the Major Junior League.
Sam, as we always finish off the program, we'll talk about the BMO CHL Top 10 rankings. Some coaching news to share alongside this Top 10 as well in a couple of seconds. But we do have some changes and some pretty big ones, Sam. The final week, week 26, the BMO CHL Top 10 rankings. Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds go from number 3 to number 1. Amazing what happens when that team is finally healthy, isn't it?
Oh boy, they're going to be dangerous, and you know what? It's the most inopportune time for Sault Ste. Marie to overtake Oshawa on that top spot, because Oshawa's kind of looked at itself as that underdog all year long, and going from 1 to 3 out of 60 teams in the Canadian Hockey League isn't all that bad, but you know, you'd expect them to finish out the way they did most of the year. So that's going to light a bit of a fire, and don't think DJ Smith won't use that as a bit of motivation going in.
100%. Brandon Weekings go from number 4 to number 2. That team is on fire heading into the playoffs. They'll open up against Edmonton. You can watch Game 3 on Sportsnet on Tuesday.
Yeah, you know what, Jeff? For looking at the Wheaties, you know, they got Edmonton, the defending champs, in the first round. They're a little banged up going in, but I think that's going to be a team that's really going to be tough to reckon with in the Eastern Conference, and wouldn't surprise me if they provided formidable opposition to the Western Hockey League championship. I really feel strongly about the hockey club they have in Brandon this year.
As you mentioned, the Oshawa Generals slide down to 3 from 1. The Kelowna Rockets dip as well from 2 to 4. So a dip there, as you mentioned. Maybe some knees knocking together in the Kelowna Rockets organization. Erie Otters hold in at number 5. Rimouski in at number 6. No change there. Ditto for Moncton and the Armada. They're locked in at 7 and 8. The Everett Silvertips in at number 9. And your new number 10. Maybe not new, because they've been flirting and dancing in and dancing out for a few weeks now. The Calgary Hitmen make the final tally in the top 10. Honorable mention, Portland Winterhawks, Quebec Ramparts, they host the MasterCard Memorial Cup, and the Medicine Hat Tigers. Any surprises there, Sammy?
Yeah, Quebec not being in the top 10. I think that's something that you would have expected going into the playoffs, but that for sure lessens some of the expectations on Philippe Boucher's squad. I mean, this is continuously become a topic of conversation going back to Shawinigan in 2012, Saskatoon in 2013, the London Knights last year in 2014. Where are the Quebec Ramparts going to end up? Are they going to play right until the end of the season in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League? Are they going to play for a President's Cup? Oh, boy. Moving now into that honorable mention spot, you look at 25 regulation losses. that's going to be the most interesting storyline going into the MasterCard Memorial Cup, is where the Quebec Remparts finish. So of all the remaining teams, that's the one that is of the most interest to me right now as the host.
That is fascinating. Some coaching news to pass along the way. We'll get to the U18s and the U20s in a couple of seconds. But Claude Noel, one and done with the Vancouver Giants. And it seems as if Vancouver does not want to wait till late in the summer to make a coaching decision. They expect to make one sooner than later. But your thoughts on Claude Noel in Vancouver?
Well, you know, just being in there on Friday, you got the sense that it was really, I think he enjoyed kind of teaching again. That part of it, I surely don't think he enjoyed the bus trips in the Western Hockey League. I think there's a sense to me that he's more built for the pro game. You know, at his age, at his stage in his career, with all the coaching he's done all over the place, I think he's probably better suited to the pro game, and I just get that sense that there might be a disconnect there with Claude's age and the younger players of today's junior generation, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Other coaching news around the CHL. The U18 coaching staff named Kelly McCrimmon of the Brandon Wheat Kings, and he will be flanked by Sheldon Keefe of the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, Darren Rumble of the Moncton Wildcats. I'm really happy for Sheldon Keefe specifically, and we can touch on that in a couple of seconds, but Kelly McCrimmon gets the nod there, Sam.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool thing, you know, for a guy who's done all that he's done, been around the game a million years, owner, general manager, MasterCard, Memorial Cups, great player in his day, to kind of take on this challenge at his stage of his career. But quite obviously, he does well with youth. I mean, look at his team this year, a younger team, a year ahead of its time, likely. So that's that age group that he should fit perfectly into. I think what's cool for me about this one is Darren Rumble getting the call. He's out there in Moncton, doesn't get a lot of respect. The Wildcats have been dynamite all year long, despite trading away Katchev and Christophe Lalonde, two of their top producing players, yet still being able to finish top three in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. That's a really good appointment, in my opinion. I'm really happy for Rums for getting that.
What about Sheldon Keefe? I mean, once upon there were, and this is full credit to Kyle Dubas, who stuck his neck out and brought Sheldon Keefe in, running a really successful program out in Eastern Ontario with a powerhouse squad. But he stuck his neck out because there was no guarantees that, it wasn't a very popular decision amongst a lot of people. But there was no guarantees that we're going to see the same results from Sheldon Keefe that we saw in Tier 2. Your thoughts on Sheldon getting this nod? I'm thrilled for the guy. I'm really happy for him. He's a great coach, a really great person as well. What are your thoughts on Sheldon getting the nod?
Yeah, I'm really excited about it, and here's why. Because you have a guy like Kelly McCrimmon who knows everyone in Hockey Canada inside and out, who knows the program, who's done well with youth. Sheldon Keefe, though, is a guy that I want to see be the head coach. But before you do that, you have to be the assistant. And here's why I'll be interested to see him be a head coach. And it's going to happen for him here at some point in one of these Hockey Canada programs. It's because I love the style of play. I really, really love the style of play. Brandon is somewhat similar in that regard, and I think they're going to share a lot of philosophical similarities, he and Kelly McCrimmon and even Darren Rumble for that matter. You get three really offensive guys there, but I think Sheldon can have more of an impact as a head guy. It's not his time yet, but he could not have been in a better situation or picked to be in a better situation than working with Kelly McCrimmon in this project.
U20s World Junior Hockey Championships. Dave Lowry gets a nod, our man from Victoria. DJ Smith, Martin Raymond, and Dom Ducharme flanking the coach for the Royals. Your thoughts, Sammy?
Yeah, Dominic Ducharme, good for him. You know, back in that 2013 MasterCard Memorial Cup run with Nathan MacKinnon, Jonathan Drouin, deemed as one of the next up-and-comers. He went and coached the under-18s that summer. And then it's kind of been out of the hockey program. But getting back in is going to be huge for him. Dave Lowry, I think it's pretty typical, Jeff, in our experience watching the program, that you like to take a guy who's been an assistant in the program with the under-20s, as Dave has been for the last couple of years. So he'll be able to just seamlessly transition into that head coaching role. Martin Raymond is a guy who really goes underrated in the work he does in his preparation, and I think he surprised a couple of the guys on the staff last year, because not much was known about him. You know, he was at McGill, and then he was in Tampa Bay, and, you know, no one really paid a whole lot of attention to him and his career, and then he comes back to Drummondville, does a pretty good job there. They're in a rebuild now, obviously, but a guy who I think really generated a lot of respect and earned a lot of respect from his peers going back to last year's World Junior. So, yeah, always fun to see those CHL guys jump into those spots, especially when you have relationships with them, as you and I have over the years. And it'll be interesting to see if they can put up the repeat in Finland.
Congratulations to all those gentlemen we just named. Sam, we're close. CHL playoffs on the horizon. We have games 1 and 2 between Oshawa and Peterborough. We'll see Brandon and Edmonton on Tuesday as well. This is what it's all about. This is why we do all the games on Fridays and Sundays. Now it is showtime, Sam Cosentino. I know you and RJ are pretty excited about it.
Well, it's great. It's great to see the Oshawa Generals. You know, I thought we were going to be able to go in there and say the number one team in the CHL. That obviously is not going to happen with today's news, but really looking forward to hunkering down and getting, you know, consecutive games with the Oshawa Generals. It happened maybe on, I think, 3 occasions for us this year, where you get to see the same team twice over the course of 3 days, and you can really learn a lot about the coaching staff, or really learn a lot about the team. And, you know, it, when you go in a one-off situation, Jeff, you might get the team at its very best or its very worst, and so you I don't think you get a true read. But going in for 2 games, as we're going to see Brandon and Edmonton there next week, one for sure, and maybe 2 if that game 5 is necessary. But you really get a good feel for the hockey club. So I'm looking forward to that for sure when it comes to Oshawa.
Should be a lot of fun. All right, on behalf of Sam Cosentino and our producer, Matt Brown, thanks so much for joining us. This has been another edition of Junior. Enjoy the CHL playoffs. Don't forget, it all kicks off 7:30 Eastern on Friday. The Oshawa Generals at home facing off against the Peterborough Peaks. Thanks for downloading, or thanks for listening to Sportsnet.ca.